I want to say, first, I kind of forgot to mention it earlier. We had a great start last night to Powerline Ministries. Reggie getting his thing going. I don't even see, is Reggie down here? Are you up here? Up there. Okay, yeah, man. It was great. Well done. Thank you all who came out to support. I think we got a good thing going there. So look forward to next month, buddy. All right, we're starting a new little mini-series this week with 3 weeks, just 3 weeks on this series. It's just kind of going over the nuts and bolts of our church, like there are three or four kind of big areas of focus that we have. I like to start off school years with this idea in mind of like, here's kind of who we are as a church, and here's the things that sort of make us fully engaged to the life of faith and to our church. And So it's like our primary outlets of what it means to be a part of the church. And most churches might call it membership. I've never really liked that word membership. It was fine with it until I started thinking about it, because membership has its privileges, right? I said, membership, man, it seems like the church exists to serve its members. And I don't really like that way of thinking about it. But then there's other churches might call it partnership. Having a partnership where maybe you have voting rights and things like that is a little better, but along with that comes some privilege and responsibility. Partners work together, but they get their names on the sign, you know, and so I don't know if partnership is quite right. So here's the term I've come up with, and just a playoff of our name, and it's just engagement. You know, what have we thought about how we do our life of faith as engagement? Engage Newark Church. We're here to engage the city of Newark and beyond with the love of Jesus Christ. So if we were to think about what membership looks like in our venue, in our way of thinking, in our family of church that we have, what kind of commitments and responsibilities would a full member have? What would we do? What a fully engaged person look like? And you think of engagement kind of has two thoughts that we think through with, like, well, engagement is a commitment that two people have when they go to get married, right? They get engaged. So there's a commitment there. And so they've made a commitment to move forward in life together. And that's what we kind of want to do here. Let's get engaged. Let's make a commitment to move forward in life together. And sort of here's what that commitment looks like. But there's another way of thinking it through it too, like you engage your car to move forward, or in reverse, I guess, but we want to go forward. You engage your car to, or your truck or whatever you drive, so you can move forward together. It's activation. So that's what I also mean when we talk about let's get engaged or let's be involved together in it. So we're getting engaged. Let's get engaged. Let's work together with all the moving parts of your gifts and my gifts, and we work together to move forward in a committed way together. And so we've kind of come up with this phrase as our mission statement, or I guess that's maybe a slogan or whatever, a diverse people on a journey together to share in the love of Jesus. Look around. We're a diverse group. You know, we got all kinds of backgrounds and all different people from all different areas, all ages. We're all here. We're diverse people on a journey together to share in the love of Jesus. We're sharing it with each other. We're sharing it with our community. So, do you want to get engaged? You know, do you want to get engaged? Now, before you answer that, maybe you should think about what kind of commitments we're making when we say, let's get engaged. What does it mean to be fully engaged as a person of faith? And that's what we'll cover individually over the next 3 weeks. So what is a fully engaged person? We got this little graphic that I like to use. There's four things, but there's three outlets that come from one particular thing, and it's love. All of the other things that we do come from a heart of love. We love recklessly, vertically to God. We love recklessly to people around us. And that is shown through serving diligently, giving generously, growing vigorously. And honestly, there's nothing new about any of these words. If you've been to churches before where they've given like mission statements and strategic plans and things like that, they don't look like this, but this is what they say. They all say the same thing. They're all pretty much the same thing. They'll might add one more in there to have five. Rick Warren kind of got all that stuff like started like 20, 30 years ago, like these five purposes that we have, the purpose-driven life. These are four of the five, and we're just throwing love. We're making two out of one, so or making one out of two, I guess. But so these are the things that we do to show full engagement. But here's what I want to sort of make sure we all understand is this, that you already belong. So membership has its privileges, but you already belong. Membership often equals belonging, but I would just want to say, especially those who are getting baptized today, you already belong. You are already part of us. It used to be that in order to belong to the church, you had to behave a certain way to be able to show up to church. You had to believe certain things in order to look like that tribe, and then you could belong. So right behavior plus right belief equaled belonging. But now I tell you this, you already belong. You belong here. This is your tribe. This is your community. You are one of us. There's nothing more that you need to do for you to be loved, to be known, to be welcomed, because you already belong. And here's the truth. We hope that in some point in your belonging with this family, that you'll end up believing in Jesus. And the more you believe in Jesus, the more your behavior just starts to look like him. That's just the pattern. That's how things work. I think I have... do I have a math problem somewhere on the screen? Can you? Yeah, this is an old model. Right behavior plus right belief equals belonging. Here's what we want to get to. It starts with belonging. Then you move to believe in Jesus' redemptive work in your life. And the more you believe in Jesus' redemptive work already working in you, the more your behavior just naturally changes. It just lines up. Okay, one more slide. Let's see what that looks like. Love recklessly. So here's the things that we do. We love recklessly. When we're going to talk today about grow vigorously. Next week is serve diligently. We're going to have the people from Lookup Center are coming to talk with us next week. And then we're going to talk about give generously. Yes, we'll have a giving sermon in a couple weeks. But loving recklessly, everything we do comes from a heart of love. It's our motivation. Jesus said, if you're going to be known for anything, be known for how you love one another. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. But there's two directions for that love that we have. It's we love vertically to God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's the greatest commandment. And Jesus says the second greatest commandment is like that. You love one another as you love yourself. Love vertically, love God. So a fully engaged person will love God, celebrate the work God is doing in their life through private and communal worship. You've shown up. You already belong. You are being engaged in this thing already. They focus their life on the person and work of Jesus that's doing that work inside of you and pray regularly for the power and presence of the work of God in your life. That's loving God vertically. Loving God, loving others horizontally. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. A fully engaged person thinks, feels, shows no judgment of others. Shows no judgment of others. Sees all people as image bearers of God and works to restore that vision in all people. All we got to do is look at each other and go, that person is an image bearer just as much as I am. I'm going to do whatever I can to restore that image in them, and I hope they'll do the same to me so that God is seen through who we are. And lastly, we recognize that everybody's on a journey. We all just know that, hey, wherever you're at, that's where you're at. And I'm going to help you with yours, and you help me with mine, too, because I'm on a journey. I have not arrived anywhere specific. I'm simply on a journey of faith. And so, love God, love others. That's the motivation for all the things that we do. The other three things that we have on our screen up there. On our screen. There we go. Love recklessly, because we're motivated by loving others to serve others. We're motivated by our love for God to give generously. And also we love people too, so because we support lots of other things. And we grow vigorously because we love God and we want to work to have that redemptive love working in us and through us. And so we're going to just cover growing vigorously just quickly right now. Jesus said, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, this is a great commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. Go therefore and make. Go and make. Go and make. Those are the two verbs in there. Go and make. Some people like to stay and be. Stay and be. Let's just stay here and be disciples. Let's just start another Bible study so I can learn lots of content. I just want to be a sponge for all of it. Let's just be really pious people who are morally pure and we have our own sense of morality. Let's just stay here. Let's just be good disciples. But Jesus said, no, no, no. Go and make. Go and make. And what Jesus is essentially saying, if you look at the Greek, it's kind of like this. He says, as you go about life, as you go through life doing the normal things that you normally do, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to the ball field, as you enjoy dinner with your relatives or your friends, as you go about life, make disciples along the way. Just do the things you normally do in life, but intentionally making disciples along the way. It doesn't have to be all that extraordinary. In fact, it's the mundane things of life where discipleship really happens. As you go about life, he said, go and make. Now, I think there's always a time for staying and being. There's time for that. There's time for resting. I'm all for staying and being for periods of rest, periods of strengthening, but we don't stay in the staying and being. We go and we make, and we just do it in the normal flow of life as we go through life. The big word that's the churchy word is discipleship. Discipleship. And we throw that word around from time to time here. He says go make disciples, so we just call it discipleship, growing, you know, becoming more like Jesus. So this is a definition that I like to use of discipleship. Comes from Dr. Robert Mulholland. I found this to be transformative for me, just understanding what discipleship is. I talked to a couple pastors a few years back. They're like, I don't even know what discipleship is. I'm like, you're a pastor. You ought to know that one because you're doing it. So here's being transformed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. That's what discipleship is. Growing vigorously is being transformed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. Let's break it down just a little bit, each phrase. Being transformed. That means that you cannot do the transformation on your own. You are being transformed. All the influences you allow on your life work to transform you to be more like that thing. All of them. So what content do you have on your phone that is trying to transform you into the image of the thing that you've been scrolling through? That transforms you. What things do you consume on the bigger screen on the television? That transforms you. What podcasts are you listening to? It transforms you. What kind of conversations do you have with people? They transform you. What kind of news do you read daily, weekly? It transforms you. Do the things transform you into the image of Christ? That's the big question. You can't do the transformation work on your own. You can only put yourself in a position to be transformed. You can only cultivate soil. You can only water soil. You cannot make the plant grow yourself. Try as you might, you cannot make a plant grow. But you can cultivate soil. You can provide the right conditions for growth. And that's what happens for you. Only thing you can do is provide the right conditions for the transformative work to happen within you. So being transformed, and here's the next part, in the image of Christ. And whether you like it or not, you and I are being transformed or conformed into the image of something, whether it be the image of the world. Be not conformed to the image of the world is what Paul says in Romans, but with the renewing of your mind, be transformed. So the point of our society's marketing strategies is to conform us to the consumers they want us to be. They're specific about it, and they know the human condition better than we do, and they want to work to make us into the image of consumers. It's a pretty pessimistic view, but I think it's true. I don't think we're meant as humans to have full access 24/7 to political and social news all the time. I don't think God designed our brains to have that kind of access all the time. We become transformed to the image of the thing that we allow ourselves access to. And so whatever soil we cultivate ourselves into, that's what comes out. That's the fruit that grows from our plant. Discipleship calls us to be transformed in the image of who? Christ. Christ. Being transformed in the image of Christ. And here's the last part that's so vital. It makes it work generation after generation. It's for the sake of others. It's not for ourselves. You know, there's people who kind of keep it to themselves, who really know the Bible really, really well, but they're complete jerks. You know, they're really good at being Christians, but terrible at being humans. They forget the sake of others part. The point of discipleship is not to know a ton of things. The point of discipleship is always others-oriented, to love other people. Getting close to Christ isn't a secret meeting you just keep to yourself. There's always somebody else who should benefit from your growing in the image of Christ. And so we call this aspect of getting engaged growing vigorously. But what's the point of growing vigorously if you don't bear fruit? The fruit has seeds. Fruit always has seeds that should be planted for the sake of others. In order to be a disciple, you got to make disciples. In order to make disciples, you got to be a disciple. In order for that to happen, here's what we got to do. Here's the kind of the tenets of that, how that's lived out at Engage New York Church. A fully engaged person intentionally places themselves in a position where God can do transforming work in their life. So whether that means, like, I got to change the podcasts I listen to, I got to change some of the relationships I've got, I got to turn off the TV, I got to give up this addiction that I have, whatever it means, that's what it means for you. Because try as you might, the very frustrating thing is you cannot grow on your own. The only thing you can do is put yourself in a position where growth can occur. You can prepare soil, you can place yourself in the right environments, you can put yourself near the water, you can drink from it, but you cannot make yourself grow. So the fully engaged person just simply puts themselves in a position where they can grow. Because our eyes and our ears are constantly inundated with content that would rather have us conform to the image of the world. It would rather us not be like Jesus. So we must do what we can to put ourselves in the spaces and places where God can do God's work. And that probably means more than just coming to church for an hour a week. Probably means more than that. It probably means exposing yourself to content that is Jesus-related. Here's another thing a fully engaged person will do when they're just trying this growing vigorously thing out. Commits to daily habits of devotions. Okay, kind of put yourself in that environment. commits to rhythms of work and rest. We're not meant to work all the time. We're meant to have downtime and rest. We commit to regular gathering with other believers for discipleship. We're committing to do the practices where spiritual growth can occur. We're not always doing it by ourselves, but we're not always doing it in community either. There's things we do on our own. There's things we do together. We've got resources for you to position yourself through discipleship for growth through Engage New York Church, but we're not the only people that have content. You know, there's tons of churches that have tons of content, and the pandemic has shown that. Like, experience other churches' content. It's good. There's a lot of good stuff out there. We're not the only ones that have things. Here's another thing that we do. We discover and develop our gifts for service. So if we're going to be growing vigorously, we're going to discover our gifts, and we're going to use them for others. All growth is for the sake of others. It's not for ourselves. It's so that we can serve. But part of that growth is figuring out how we're wired. How am I uniquely fitted to serve? God has uniquely gifted you to impact the kingdom one way or another. So why not develop that thing? That Dream Factory thing that we do in the fall, and the Discovery Retreat, that's going to be a great way for you to get on that journey. Here's another thing. We believe we're on a lifelong journey of learning that inspires action. We're on a lifelong journey of learning. Too many people think that they get to retire from it somehow. I've done my time. I've done it. When I was a younger pastor, I hated it when people said those things. And then Friday night, I heard myself say it. Because we were talking about Bethany joined the Newark Orchestra Parents Association. She's the treasurer. The worst job you can get in any public organization is treasurer. It's the worst. Because I did PTA back in the day when the kids were little. Years of PTA, treasurer and president. President is way easier than treasurer. Just saying, when they have elections next time. But I said to the people, like, yeah, it's her turn. I've done my time. I was like, oh my gosh, I just said the thing I hate when people say it, because you can't retire from ministry. You don't. You're meant to serve. You never. It's a lifelong thing. PTA, you can quit. But lifelong service is meant for discovering your gift, and it may change over time. You may change how you express it over time. We often look back at our lives, and we end up at a moment right here. We see how far we've gotten, failing to realize there's a whole other life ahead of us. And for the last 5 years, I've been saying, I'm halfway through my life if God blesses me. And now I realize I can't keep saying that. I'm on the other half of it. I'm on the shorter end of what's left of my life. How am I going to spend that life investing in what God has given me? It's a lifelong journey, and it never stops. And here's the last thing. Growing vigorously recognizes that everyone is called to make disciples. It's kind of hard. It says, go and make. Go and make. He doesn't say, be. Just stop and be. Every single person is somewhere on the pathway of the discipleship journey. Everybody's there. And that means everyone needs someone to disciple them, someone to help them grow. The moment of salvation is not the beginning, and it's not the end. We don't just pray for somebody and they say a sinner's prayer and it's all over. We don't just dunk you underwater and then that's it. That's really just the beginning. We're just getting started in our journey. And it helps you to realize that you are created in the image of God. God has built into you His image. And every other person is on that journey too. And they deserve love and respect because they're on that journey just like you are. And so why should we judge them for being where we used to be? We can't. We're on that journey with them. Why not help them along the way? You're meant to become like Jesus in every way. You don't lose yourself. You gain Jesus. I saw a quote that said, discipleship is who Jesus would be if Jesus could be you. that's growing to be in the image of Jesus. Today we've got people